Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. I appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. A few of you have asked, and so just to kind of update you, you've asked about the plumbing situation. The pump has been ordered, and it's supposed to be in later this week. That's kind of what has to be replaced in order for everything to work normally again. And so that should come in later this week. In the meantime, we're just making the best with what we've got. I do have... Joey Goforth is the guy who's been helping pump out the small reservoir tank that we have, which allows us to flush a little bit, but not much. And they are supposed to come this afternoon and do that again, and so that hopefully by tonight. If you go to flush a commode and the water does not go down, don't keep flushing it. It's not that it's clogged or it just has nowhere to go, okay? But they'll be coming this afternoon to pump that tank out again, and so that should have us in a good situation for tonight. But as soon as that new pump gets here and they get it in, we'll be back to normal business, and so hopefully within about a week that will be the case. I would be amiss if I did not say this. Thank you to everyone who helped out with Vacation Bible School. I'm not going to start naming names because I'll leave someone out, and I certainly don't want to do that. But VBS is one of those things that it takes a lot of hands to make that work and to get that going. We had a great turnout again this year. We averaged right around 40 young people here each night, and so that's a great number of people that we planted seeds with, and hopefully in time those seeds will take root and they will grow. And so thank you so much to everyone who helped out with that. You did a great thing. And I know God is thankful for your work, and I'm thankful for it as well. This morning, we want to turn our attention to the book of Jonah. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, I hope you'll turn over to the book of Jonah. Jonah, of course, located in the Minor Prophets. The Minor Prophets are called the Minor Prophets, not because the work of those prophets were lesser than the other prophets, but simply because those books are shorter. You compare Jonah with an Isaiah, and those are two very different lengths of work. And Jonah, the book of Jonah, gives us a glimpse into something that we see nowhere else in the Old Testament. And that is God sending a prophet to a Gentile nation. As we'll notice here in a moment, Jonah is going to be sent to the city of Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian nation. And so we have God sending prophets to not just the Israelites, but to Gentile nations as well. And there are a lot of things that we can learn from the book of Jonah. There are a lot of lessons that we can take away from. You can look at lessons from the standpoint of nationalism. Jonah was so entrenched in his love for Israel that he allowed that to cause him to hate other nations. You can look at it from the standpoint of Jonah's disregard for God's grace. We see that towards the end of the book. But this morning we want to focus our attention to the very beginning of the book, to the first chapter. And as we look at that first chapter, we get a vivid picture of the consequences of the choices that we make in this life. You know, each day we are faced with choices on whether we're going to follow God or whether we're not. Whether we're going to give in to temptation or whether we're not. And the choices that you and I make shape the life that we live. And we're going to notice that in the life of Jonah. When we choose to follow God and when we choose not to follow Him, both of those choices have consequences attached to them. 3 points that we're going to notice together. Two of those we're going to notice this morning, and then one, the last point, we'll notice tonight. And let me, before we jump into the lesson, let me make this suggestion, request. If you're someone that normally doesn't come back on Sunday night, make tonight the night that you do that. Make God a priority tonight. Come back and be back with us. Most of the time on Sunday nights, the lessons are not long. I try to keep them to around 20 minutes. We have the children's class at the very beginning, which if you're not a child and you're adult sitting in the office, it, at the very least is entertaining. And then we have an opportunity to worship and get together again. And so if you're not normally someone who comes back on Sunday night, make tonight tonight that you choose to do that. And I think you'll be glad that you did. As we look at the book of Jonah, though, 3 points that we want to notice. Number one, we want to begin by noticing the call to sail with God. The call to sail with God. We're in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." As we look at this call that is presented to Jonah, we want to notice four things about it. First off, the call that Jonah received from God was personal. It was personal. We like personal things, don't we? I mean, a note that someone sends us, they sign their name. That's something personal. We appreciate that. I can remember when we lived in Alabama, in the mall in Tuscaloosa, there was a store there called Things Remembered. And the store, when you went in, everything in the store could be personalized. Everything had an engraving plate or some other way that you could personalize each item. We like things that are personal. Jonah's call was not given to him by man. It was given to him by God. It was personal. And today men are called by God as well. Now, God's not going to pick up the telephone. It's not some voice that you'll hear in the still of the night. But in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we read, "To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may attain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." God has called each and every one of us to follow him. He's called each and every one of us to obey his will. Just as he called Jonah, we have been called as well. This call, though, came to Jonah as an individual. Jonah was called to sail with God. And Jonah had to make a decision on what he was going to do with that call. The call to obey God comes to all men. And all men must make their decision concerning what they'll do with that call. So the call to sail with God, number one, for Jonah, it was personal. Number two, that call was pointed. Notice in verse 2, Jonah is told where to go. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." Nineveh was the Assyrian capital at this time. It was an ancient city dated back to around 4000 BC. And it was a very powerful city. At this time, it was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And this was during a time when the Assyrian Empire would have been at some of its highest points. It was also a well-populated city. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 11, we read of approximately 120,000 people that resided there. Nineveh was a well-defended city. The walls of Nineveh stood, according to archaeologists, 100 feet high. And they were wide enough that three chariots could ride side by side upon these walls. There was no confusion on where he was to go. The command was pointed. It was specific. But Jonah's not only told where to go, he's told what to do. Jonah is told to call out against the city of Nineveh. You know, Jonah would have not been pleasing to God by faith only. Jonah couldn't say, "You know what, God, I hear you, I believe you," and then just stay where he was, could he? Oh, Jonah had to act upon what God had said. James chapter 2 and verse 26, James tells us, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead also." When God calls us to sail with him, he not only tells us where to go, he tells us what to do. And then Jonah is also told why he is to go. We see that the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before God. The people of Nineveh needed to repent, Jonah 3 and verse 4. Why should we sail with God? We know first and foremost, the easiest answer here is the old dad answer, because he said so. Parents, you ever given that answer before? I saw a little clip the other day where a talk show host was saying, I need to return back to the older dads. The ones that feel like because I said so is a perfectly acceptable answer to any question that a child might ask. Well, we sail with God because of God's authority. But also because of God's love. Also because of God's punishment. But on the flip side of that, also because of God's reward. Friends, we have all the motivation, all the reason that we need to choose to do what God has said to do. As Jonah received this call from God, it was personal, it was pointed. Number three, the call to self with God to Jonah was plain. God's command to Jonah was understandable. He heard what the Lord said, and he was capable of comprehending the statement and the command. The same is true today. We're given commands that can be easily understood. The problem is it's man that makes them difficult. It's man that makes them incomprehensible. Friend, if you just read the Bible, you read the New Testament, you read what God has said to do, it's spelled out very clearly. The problem is too often times we muddy it up. We go to it, first of all, with our own preconceived ideas and notions of what we should do. And since we already have this idea in our head of this is what I should do, God's Word says do this, and we try to muddy those two together. Or sometimes we go to it and we're like, you know what, I don't want to do that. So let me find the loophole. Let me find the way around that because I don't want to do it the way God said to do it. We're the ones that makes it difficult. God has made it plain. He's made it easy to understand. This call that Jonah received demanded action. Going back to what God said, arise. Jonah was told to arise from where he was. In order to sail with God, friends, we can't stay where we are. If we're going to follow God, we can't stay in the same spot that we've always been. God says we got to change locations. He told Jonah to arise. Now Jonah arose. As we're going to see, Jonah arose for the wrong reasons. It wasn't enough for him just to arise. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah had to go somewhere in order to sail with God. Jonah could not remain where he was and be pleasing unto him. Men today must enter the kingdom, the church, in order to sail with God. You can't stay in the world. Not if you want to go with God. And then Jonah was told to call out against it. Jonah could not just go to the city. He had to cry out against it. Jonah could not be among those people and not warn them of the judgment that God was bringing upon them. Friends, it's not enough to arise. It's not enough to be part of the Lord's church. We've got to be busy while here. If our Christianity amounts to 4 hours in a pew every day, every week, and that's it. Friends, let me gently but firmly say that's not Christianity. That's not living your life for God. In order to be a Christian, there's more to it than that. Can we go about our daily lives and not warn people of God's coming judgment? In order for Jonah to be pleasing to God, he couldn't do that. And friends, we can't either. God's call was personal. It was pointed. It was plain. But fourth and finally, this call was possible. It was not impossible for Jonah to obey what God commanded him to do. God has never, nor will He ever, call upon us to do that which is impossible. Might be difficult. Might be hard. Might be really hard. It might be one of the toughest things that you've ever had to do. But friends, it's not impossible. In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. God does not ask of us the impossible. Instead, He makes that which seems impossible possible for us. Did you get that? I know that's a lot of possibles in there. God does not ask of us that which is impossible. Instead, He makes that which is impossible possible for us. The call to sail with God is no different today. Oh, we're not going to be asked to go to Nineveh. But God's call is the same. It's personal. God calls each one of us today through the gospel. It's pointed. God is very specific in what we are to do in order to obtain salvation, in order to be pleasing to Him. It is plain. We can understand what it is we have been asked to do. And friends, it is possible. We can do what God has asked of us if we are willing to do so. So what did Jonah do? He's received this call to sail with God. That brings us to our second point, the choice to sail away from God. Going to verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. It's interesting to me in this one passage how many times we see the word Tarshish. It's like it's being emphasized. Where was he told to go? Nineveh. Where is he going? Tarshish, Tarshish, Tarshish. We see that Jonah rose, the Bible says, to flee from God. As we noted a few moments ago, Jonah had been instructed to arise, and he did. He took the first step towards obedience, yet he did not continue to follow through with what God told him to do. He arose, but he arose for the wrong reason. His reason for arising was not to follow God, but it was to flee from God. There are many today who may take the first step in obeying the gospel, but fail to follow through with the rest of the plan that God has given. Jonah arose, and then the Bible says that he went down to Joppa. God called Jonah to arise and go northeast to Nineveh. From where Jonah was, that was the direction he needed to travel, northeast. Instead of ascending to Nineveh by following the commands of God, Jonah fled from God by descending to Joppa. And then by descending even more to Tarshish. When men choose to sail away from God, there's nowhere to go but down. James 1, 14 and 15, James says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. I love the ESV translation of the word there, is lured. It paints a very vivid picture. I think of fishing. I don't do a lot of fishing. It's been a long time since I fished. But I know enough about fishing is you got to have some bait. You have to have something to lure that fish in. And that's the picture that James paints here. But each one is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. Friends, Jonah is beginning to embark on a trip that only has one end. Sin always leads to death. Jonah rose, he went down, and Jonah found a ship going to Tarshish. Tarshish was in Spain, which is at the very edge of the civilized world during the time of Jonah. As far as Jonah knew, Tarshish was as far to the edge of the map as he could get without falling off the edge of it. Jonah was looking for a means to flee from the sight of God, and his thought process is, surely there God can't find me. Listen to me, friend. If you're looking for a ship to sail in that'll take you away from God, I promise you, Satan will make sure it's easily found. If you're wanting to live a life apart from God, Satan will pave the way for you. He'll make sure that temptation is everywhere. He'll make sure that sin is sitting on every corner. It's not surprising that Jonah found a ship when he wanted to flee from God. And friends, if we're wanting to turn away from God, Satan will make that very easy for us to do so. Jonah, it says, paid the fare. Jonah had to pay the price to enter the ship. But no matter what amount Jonah paid, friends, he could not buy a ship that could sail fast enough or far enough from the presence of God. But in order to sail in that ship of sin today, many people pay a heavy price. Matthew 16, 26, Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in return for his soul?" Friends, there's nothing of greater value than the soul that you possess. When men wander off in sin, they lose the most valuable thing which they possess. Jonah went on board the ship, the Bible says. Some translations say he went down into the ship. Jonah was physically and emotionally exhausted. And so he went down into the ship to rest. Jonah made himself comfortable in the ship of sin. And many today become comfortable in the present sinful condition. And as a result, they don't turn back to God. The Bible speaks of those who have their conscience seared with a hot iron. The idea that they no longer feel bad about the sin that they're living in. Jeremiah speaks of those who are no longer able to blush. There was no embarrassment when they lived this life in opposition to God. Friend, don't become comfortable in sin. You may be comfortable in sin here, but there's a day coming when you will no longer be in comfort because of it. Finally, the Bible says Jonah sailed with them unto Tarshish. You know, Jonah did not sail alone, did he? Jonah had many companions to travel with him. Now, some of those were sailing in the same ship, and they were unaware of the situation that they were in. And they're very soon going to find that out. But it's easy for men to find companions with whom to sail in the ship of sin. As I told you earlier, Satan will make sure that you have a ship that you can sail in to sail away from God. He'll make sure that that's available to you. But he'll do you one better. He'll make sure that you've got people around you that cheer you on as you board the ship. And he'll make sure that there are people that will accompany you in that ship and tell you you were okay the entire time that you're on that ship. Beware of the friend that tells you all the time that what you're doing is just fine. Instead, find the friend who's willing every once in a while to tell you, "Hey, you're wrong. You need to make a change." Those are the people that we need in our lives. Not the ones that are simply going to tell us what we want to hear, but the ones that every now and then will step up and tell us what we need to hear. That's what Jonah needed. He needed someone in his life during this time that said, "Hey, Jonah, what are you doing?" But he didn't have that individual. James 4:4, James says, "You adulterous people, do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Paul would tell the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." 2 Corinthians 6:14, he would write them in their second letter and say, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Friend, I don't care how strong of a Christian you think you are. If you surround yourself with people who are not Christians, who are not faithful, who are not striving to follow God, who are simply wanting to walk the way of the world, if that is what you surround yourself with, that is what you will become. I've seen it too many times. You've seen it too many times, I'm sure. Jonah surrounded himself with those who would help him sail away from God. And Satan made sure there were plenty there to go with him. Jonah was called to sail with God. But Jonah chose to sail away from God. And as we'll see this evening, he paid a very high cost as a result. Here's the great news this morning. Friend, if you're not sailing with God, you've got a chance to change that. You don't have to pay that high cost because God's given you another opportunity this morning. If you're not a Christian, He's given you an opportunity to be obedient and become one. Believing in Jesus, turning away from sin, confessing that belief, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe you've done that, but this morning you realize, you know what? I was sailing with God, but I've turned away. Disembark, change ships. And you can do that this morning through repentance, confession, and prayer. Friend, you have a choice. Who will you sail with? Who will you choose? Make the choice right now as together we stand and sing.